Water. Section 3. Water pollution. You might think that you can tell if a body of water is polluted by the way that the water looks or smells, but sometimes you can't. There are many different forms of water pollution. Water pollution is the introduction of chemical, physical, or biological agents into water that degrade water quality and adversely affect the organisms that depend on the water. Almost all of the ways that we use water contribute to water pollution. However, the two underlying causes of water pollution are industrialization and rapid human population growth. In the last 30 years, developed countries have made great strides in cleaning up many polluted water supplies. Despite this progress, some water is still dangerously polluted in the United States and in other countries. In developing parts of the world, water pollution is a big problem. Industry is usually not the major cause of water pollution in developing countries. Often, the only water available for drinking in these countries is polluted with sewage and agricultural runoff, which can spread waterborne diseases. To prevent water pollution, people must understand where pollutants come from. As you will learn, water pollution comes from two types of sources, point and non-point sources. Point source pollution. When you think of water pollution, you probably think of a single source, such as a factory, a wastewater treatment plant, or a leaking oil tanker. These are all examples of point source pollution, which is pollution discharged from a single source. Table 3 lists some additional examples of point source pollution. Point source pollution can often be identified and traced to a source. But even when the source of the pollution is known, enforcing cleanup may be difficult. Non-point source pollution. Non-point source pollution comes from many different sources that are often difficult to identify. For example, a river can be polluted by runoff from any of the land in its watershed. If a farm, a road, or any other land surface in a watershed is polluted, runoff from a rainstorm can carry the pollution into a nearby river, stream, or lake. Figure 16 shows common sources of non-point pollutants. Table 4 lists some additional causes of non-point pollution. Because non-point pollutants can enter bodies of water in many different ways, they are extremely difficult to regulate and control. The accumulation of small amounts of water pollution from many sources is a major pollution problem. 96% of the polluted bodies of water in the United States were contaminated by non-point sources. Controlling non-point source pollution depends to a great extent on public awareness of the effects of activities such as spraying lawn chemicals and using storm drains to dispose of used motor oil. Principal water pollutants. There are many different kinds of water pollutants. Table 5 lists some common types of pollutants and some of the possible sources of each pollutant. Wastewater. Do you know where water goes after it flows down the drain in a sink? The water usually flows through a series of sewage pipes that carry it, and all the other wastewater in your community, to a wastewater treatment plant. Wastewater is water that contains waste from homes or industry. At a wastewater treatment plant, water is filtered and treated to make the water clean enough to return to a river or lake. Treating wastewater. A typical residential wastewater treatment process is illustrated in Figure 17. Most of the wastewater from homes contains biodegradable material that can be broken down by living organisms. For example, wastewater from toilets and kitchen sinks contains animal and plant wastes, paper, and soap, all of which are biodegradable. But wastewater treatment plants may not remove all of the harmful substances in water. Some household and industrial wastewater and some stormwater runoff contains toxic substances that cannot be removed by the standard treatment. Sewage sludge. One of the products of wastewater treatment is sewage sludge, the solid material that remains after treatment. When sludge contains dangerous concentrations of toxic chemicals, it must be disposed of as hazardous waste. The sludge is often incinerated, and then the ash is buried in a secure landfill. Sludge can be an expensive burden to towns and cities because the volume of sludge that has to be disposed of every year is enormous. The problem of sludge disposal has led many communities to look for new uses for this waste. If the toxicity of sludge can be reduced to safe levels, sludge can be used as a fertilizer. Sludge can also be combined with clay to make bricks for buildings. Artificial eutrophication. Most nutrients in water come from organic matter, such as leaves and animal waste, that is broken down into mineral nutrients by decomposers such as bacteria and fungi. Nutrients are an essential part of any aquatic ecosystem, but an overabundance of nutrients can disrupt an ecosystem. When lakes and slow-moving streams contain an abundance of nutrients, they are eutrophic. Eutrophication is a natural process. When organic matter builds up in a body of water, it will begin to decay and decompose. The process of decomposition uses up oxygen. As oxygen levels decrease, the types of organisms that live in the water change over time. For example, as a body of water becomes eutrophic, plants take root in the nutrient-rich sediment at the bottom. As more plants grow, the shallow waters begin to fill in. Eventually, the body of water becomes a swamp or marsh. The natural process of eutrophication is accelerated when inorganic plant nutrients, such as phosphorus and nitrogen, enter the water from sewage and fertilizer runoff. Eutrophication caused by humans is called artificial eutrophication. Fertilizer from farms, lawns, and gardens is the largest source of nutrients that cause artificial eutrophication. Phosphates in some laundry and dishwashing detergents are another major cause of eutrophication. Phosphorus is a plant nutrient that can cause the excessive growth of algae. In bodies of water polluted by phosphorus, algae can form large floating mats called algal blooms, as shown in Figure 18. As the algae die and decompose, most of the dissolved oxygen is used, and fish and other organisms suffocate in the oxygen-depleted water. Thermal pollution. If you look at Figure 19, you might assume that a toxic chemical caused the massive fish kill in the photo. But the fish were not killed by a chemical spill. They died because of thermal pollution. When the temperature of a body of water, such as a lake or stream, increases, thermal pollution can result. Thermal pollution can occur when power plants and other industries use water in their cooling systems and then discharge the warm water into a lake or river. Thermal pollution can cause large fish kills if the discharged water is too warm for the fish to survive. But most thermal pollution is more subtle. If the temperature of a body of water rises even a few degrees, the amount of oxygen the water can hold decreases significantly. As oxygen levels drop, aquatic organisms may suffocate and die. If the flow of warm water into a lake or stream is constant, it may cause the total disruption of an aquatic ecosystem. Groundwater pollution. Pollutants usually enter groundwater when polluted surface water percolates down from the Earth's surface. Any pollution of the surface water in an area can affect the groundwater. Pesticides, herbicides, chemical fertilizers, and petroleum products are common groundwater pollutants. Leaking underground storage tanks are another major source of groundwater pollution. It is estimated that there are millions of underground storage tanks in the United States. Most of the tanks, located beneath gas stations, farms, and homes, hold petroleum products, such as gasoline and heating fuel. As underground storage tanks age, they may develop leaks, which allow pollutants to seep into the groundwater. The location of aging underground storage tanks is not always known, so the tanks often cannot be repaired or replaced until after they have leaked enough pollutants to be located. Modern underground storage tanks are contained in concrete and have many features to prevent leaks. Other sources of groundwater pollution include septic tanks, unlined landfills, and industrial wastewater lagoons, as shown in Figure 20. Cleaning up groundwater pollution. Groundwater pollution is one of the most challenging environmental problems that the world faces. Even if groundwater pollution could be stopped tomorrow, some groundwater would remain polluted for generations to come. As you have learned, groundwater recharges very slowly. The process for some aquifers to recycle water and purge contaminants can take hundreds or thousands of years. Groundwater is also difficult to decontaminate because the water is dispersed throughout large areas of rock and sand. Pollution can cling to the materials that make up an aquifer, so even if all of the water in an aquifer were pumped out and replaced with clean water, the groundwater could still become polluted. Ocean pollution. Pollutants are often dumped directly into the oceans. For example, ships can legally dump wastewater and garbage overboard in some parts of the ocean. But at least 85% of ocean pollution, including pollutants such as oil, toxic wastes, and medical wastes, comes from activities on land. If polluted runoff enters rivers, for example, the rivers may carry the polluted water to the ocean. Most activities that pollute oceans occur near the coasts, where much of the world's human population lives. As you might imagine, sensitive coastal ecosystems, such as coral reefs, estuaries, and coastal marshes, are the most affected by pollution. Oil spills. Ocean water is also polluted by accidental oil spills. Disasters such as the 1989 Exxon Valdez oil spill in Prince William Sound, Alaska, make front-page news around the world. In 2001, a fuel oil spill off the coast of the Galapagos Islands captured public attention. Each year, approximately 37 million gallons of oil from tanker accidents are spilled into the oceans. Figure 21 shows some of the major oil spills that have occurred off the coast of North America in the last 30 years. Oil spills have dramatic effects, but they account for only about 5% of oil pollution in the oceans. Most of the oil that pollutes the oceans comes from cities and towns. Every year, as many as 200 million to 300 million gallons of oil enter the oceans from non-point sources on land. That's almost 10 times the amount of oil spilled by tankers. Limiting these non-point sources of oil pollution would go a long way toward keeping the oceans clean. Water pollution and ecosystems. Water pollution can cause immediate damage to an ecosystem. For example, toxic chemicals spilled directly into a river can kill nearly all living things for miles downstream. But the effects of water pollution can be even more far-reaching. Many pollutants accumulate in the environment because they do not decompose quickly. As the pollutant levels increase, they can threaten an entire ecosystem. Consider a river ecosystem. Soil tainted with pesticides washes into the river and settles to the bottom. Some of the pesticides enter the bodies of tiny bottom-dwelling organisms, such as insect larvae and crustaceans. The pesticides are stored in their body tissues. 100 of these organisms are eaten by one small fish. 100 of these small fish are eaten by one big fish. A predatory bird, such as an eagle, eats 10 big fish. Each organism stores the pesticide in its tissues, so at each step along the food chain, the concentration of the pesticide passed on to the next organism increases. This buildup of pollutants at higher levels of the food chain is called biomagnification. Biomagnification, which is shown for the pesticide DDT in Figure 22, has alarming consequences for organisms at the top of the food chain. Many U.S. states limit the amount of fish that people can eat from certain bodies of water because of biomagnification. Cleaning up water pollution. In 1969, the Cuyahoga River in Cleveland, Ohio, was so polluted that the river caught on fire and burned for several days, as shown in Figure 23. This shocking event was a major factor in the passage of the Clean Water Act of 1972. The stated purpose of the act was to restore and maintain the chemical, physical, and biological integrity of the nation's waters. The goal of the act was to make all surface water clean enough for fishing and swimming by 1983. This goal was not achieved. However, much progress has been made since the act was passed. The percentage of lakes and rivers that are fit for swimming and fishing has increased by about 30%, and many states have passed stricter water quality standards of their own. Many toxic metals are now removed from wastewater before the water is discharged. The Clean Water Act opened the door for other water quality legislation, some of which is described in Table 6. For example, the Marine Protection, Research, and Sanctuaries Act of 1972 strengthened the laws against ocean dumping. The Oil Pollution Act of 1990 requires all oil tankers traveling in U.S. waters to have double hulls by 2015 as an added protection against oil spills. Legislation has improved water quality in the United States, but the cooperation of individuals, businesses, and the government will be essential to maintaining a clean water supply in the future. You've reached the end of this chapter. Before moving on, review the main points of the section by reading the summary. Then take some time to demonstrate what you've learned by answering the review questions. Your teacher may want you to apply your knowledge by completing the lab exercise on the following pages. The chapter review and standardized test preparation will give you additional practice using what you've learned.